quite often, are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in, this is Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth, where spirits meet skeptics and consciousness connects. Together, we expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Now, here's your hosts, AJ and April Mata.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. It's Thursday. That number for you to connect with us is 321-473-4253. And all you Skype users can type it in as one word, Spiritually Raw. And you can go to the site right now and chat live with us on spirituallyraw.com. So we got a really full day, it looks like, here, everybody. Hey, real quick, before we get into this,
Very male energy day.
Is it a male energy day?
Mm-hmm. All right. Sure is.
Okay, well, anyway, listen, but check this out. Did you watch the Republican debate last night?
Half of it.
I did, Jay.
Watch the one guy, Perry?
What did he do?
It was hilarious.
What?
He goes, I'm going to get rid of three things.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. What did he do?
Oh, poor guy. He couldn't think of the third one.
I thought it was a joke because I was half asleep.
And then he's like, oops, he goes, I can't think of it.
He had a brain fart?
He was so confident of the three things and couldn't pull out the last one. I know.
And it's only three things. Like, what kind of plan? Like, how strong is your plan if you can't remember it?
There's only three.
He should have made it just simple like Kane and just, you know, remember.
999.
One number.
That's a lot of pressure standing up there in front of the pulpit.
Well, see, Kane's kind of smart because he's relating it to pizzas. 999. You know what I mean? That's his, you know, it keeps it very simple. I mean, people connect with that.
Right.
You know, 999.
So you think they buried him?
You think about this, the possible leader of our free world saying, okay, I'm getting rid of three things. And he can't just, he's like, I can't remember. He goes, I just can't remember.
That could happen to us, Jay, one day when we're standing up on the big screen next, we get interviewed by Oprah and then I'll freeze and I can't remember they'll say, what's the slogan to your radio show? And I'll be scratching my head and I won't even be able to remember our own name
for
the radio show.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be
or something like that.
Hopefully we won't be selling a campaign to become president.
Yes. That's one thing different.
Too.
You know what I mean? You know?
I feel for the guy. I can relate to that.
Well, just like freezing like that?
Yeah, just having a total brain fart.
Yeah, well, whatever.
There's eight other candidates on stage. And the only thing they buried was the poll results because Ron Paul, once again, at the top.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was at the top?
Ron Paul. Who, you may ask?
Ron Paul.
Good question. You know why you don't hear from him? Because the media blacks him out.
No.
That's a true fact.
There's a conspiracy for you.
There is a big conspiracy against Ron Paul.
Yes. All right, enough about politics today.
All
right, go ahead.
So overall, who did the best?
From what I saw...
Who do you like running up right now? Who's up?
Who do I like?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me see here.
Has Herman Cain's personal
Jess, give me some Jeopardy music
issues.
On this one, man.
Okay,
maybe it'll help me trigger here. Okay, who do I like?
Has Herman Cain's personal issues interfered with...
Me?
Him moving up the political ladder.
For me, absolutely not. No, who cares?
No. Four sexual abuse charges?
But you can't prove it.
They haven't been proven,
Why didn't they come out then?
Thirteen years ago. Because it's intimidating.
But you don't think it's intimidating going against the possible president now?
Now there's other numbers. When you think you're the only one, you're going to sit back and not really want to say nothing because everybody pretty much just says, oh, you're a derogatory, you know, money grubbing, girl out there. But when the first two came out, that they gave the power to the third person, and then after the third person, empowered the fourth person.
I think it's mob mentality.
Has it put a sour taste in your mouth, Jess? Towards Hermie?
Is he
out of the running for you now?
He's never been running.
Liked him. Anyway.
Who's your guy?
Well, I'm not a Republican,
Ron
Paul. Hands down.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Santorum, the Perrys, the Romneys. I mean, these are all just incumbents. I mean, they're career politicians. they say the same kind of rhetoric.
All right, listen. Granted,
what is his name?
Mitt Romney.
And again, New is just
he's
scary.
Got an answer for everything.
Mitt Romney?
Yeah, he rolls it right off the tongue.
Yeah, he's a pro. Okay, yeah, so listen, I would say that,
he's
you know,
a salesman. He's,
I would
he's
say that I don't think, you know, I personally, I think that it's just going to go, Obama's going to get another 4 years anyway, you know?
But the question, that was not the question. The question was, hit it, Jess. The question was, who is in the running for you so far?
In the Republican thing.
Right.
No, Jay.
I would say probably between Kane and Romney.
And the
really?
Reason, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, because they're business people. You can't, you cannot go, okay, look, I don't think either one of them are going to win.
You can't discount that.
But you can, look, logically, the biggest mistake that's been happening, as I see with consistency, is that, you know, you don't have a governor, okay, with consistency. That should be, to be a governor and or a CEO of a billion-dollar company should be a, it should be an initial requirement. Very simple.
Well,
you have got to learn how to run the business.
What about moral fabric? Is that important as a president?
To some degree. To some
not
degree.
Really.
To some degree. I mean, I would.
No,
I'll put it this way.
I'll tell you. You know what? If the president,
back up from the mics.
If morally speaking, I'm much more interested in. Listen, what you do on your private time is your own damn business. You want to sleep around, that's your own issue. Now, with that said, if you can run a business and you can get this. This world back on track, that is truly the only thing that matters at this point.
It really is. I mean, look, if the guy's going to get, let's say he did do these with these women, okay? So then maybe he faces a civil issue, but you know what? He faces a civil issue. He still goes on running our country if he can do the right job. As far as what he does, you know what I mean? You don't have to like the person to, personally, to have them run a successful business. And if you take a look at United States as a business, it needs a successful person. You know what I mean? And those are the two best candidates, I would say, right now that I see that can run a business.
Did you like their response to what to do with China?
I didn't hear
that
part.
What did they say?
I didn't hear that part.
No.
You fell asleep?
No, I'm asking you guys. I was very attentive yesterday.
What'd they say?
A whole lot of nothing. They had no answer to China. As far as you know, manipulating their currency and as far as all the allegations of you know, just being unfair in a free, you know, market system, nobody had.
You know what was interesting to me?
You know what
really, like, nobody really does it for me. Can I tell you why? Because you know they're all thinking this. Nobody has the balls to say legalize marijuana and legalize prostitution and in secluded areas. You know what I mean? I'm not saying put it next to a church or a school, but I'm saying nobody really has that to say, because you know what? There's your saving grace right there. You're pushing back on things. And I'm not talking about, you know, people are going to do it anyway, you know?
Listen, the one person that does...
People are going to do it anyway, right? What do you think?
Well, you know, recent polls show that most Americans would love to see, you know, at least a decriminalization of marijuana and at least a legalization of medical marijuana, you know, at bare minimums. I've been a pro hemp component, you know, not a component, but...
Pro-hemp?
Well, yeah.
Pro-hemper?
What's a pro-hemper?
I'm a pro-hemper.
What's a hemper?
I'm for the industrialization of hemp.
What is hemp?
It is the
organic version of something?
No, it's the industrialized version of the pot plant.
Oh.
It grows in stalks. The fiber is made from food to rope to you know, paper,
clothing.
Pulp. There's a thousand million ways to use it, and you don't need pesticide. And after each crop, you don't have to, nutrients the soil over and over again. So there's no, like, soil. I can't even come up with my.
Yeah, are you having a Mitt Romney or not a Mitt Romney? Are you having a Rick Perry?
I'm having a Perry.
He's having a Perry moment. All right, listen, everybody, we got a show to run here, but that's that's our political view for the day. But listen, quit suppressing the people. I think you'll get out of. You know, things will start moving. You know what
All
I mean?
Right.
I really do.
That's All cool. right, well, let's introduce our
It's time
for the raw guest.
That part of the show.
During this segment, the guests will have the opportunity to deliver their message, showcase their personality, and share with the audience and cast why they will be a credible and entertaining source of information. Back to you, Jay.
All right, go ahead. What
you got? You guys are going to love this morning. The Beatles and the Bible. Jacob James, he is here to tell us, going directly to the heart of the matter. Jacob believes the two witnesses that appeared in the Bible, Revelation 11:3, and the prophecies that they deliver have been identified. Ready? Who do you think it is?
Well, you're going to let us know, aren't you?
The Beatles and the Bible.
The Beatles and the Bible.
The Beatles and the Bible.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right.
John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And most people, especially those that claim to be Christian, are justifiably shocked, even offended that such a thought could even be formulated, let alone be put forth to the public.
All right, let's welcome here Jacob James to the show.
How you doing?
Hey, Jacob, how you doing? Hey, listen, everybody, in our political intrigue this morning, you know, I also wanted to let you know before we get started, co-commentating with us today is our one and only Apostle Paul, Nick Bunick, the author of The Time for Truth. So Nick's going to be here with us today, giving his facts of what everybody's saying here today. So, Jacob, what did Lennon and McCartney, what did they witness specifically?
The two witnesses, really, if you look at the work of the Beatles, you can find a 1,260-day period in which they delivered prophecy, which is one of the characteristics or identifying trademarks of what the two witnesses. And if you look at the time that they went into starting to record the Sgt. Pepper album, that was November 24th of 66. And if you go forward 1,260 days, you come up to May 7th of 1970, which is the day before Let It Be was released, the final album. And really, if you look at the works that were released then, if you look at their lives and everything they said, you'll see that they fully embodied every characteristic that's put forth in the Bible about the two witnesses.
What do they witness?
Like what other characteristics? Give us a quick example.
I want to find out what the witness. What did they witness?
The two witnesses were two people that basically came and they delivered information outside the confines of the Bible related to the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the reason why they did that, I guess, is speculative. But I believe that the information they delivered was too profound and also had to be identified at a certain point in time of mankind, and so it wasn't put directly in the Bible. So I guess they witnessed, I guess to answer your question, they witnessed a portion of the plan of Jesus Christ.
Okay,
is what they witnessed. And basically what that is, in Revelations 11 is where the two witnesses are talked about, but what they delivered prophecy about was the next two chapters in Revelation. Revelation 12 and 13. And so all their prophecies deal with those two particular chapters.
All right. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Okay, what do you think, first off, to believe from what you know is the culmination of the plan of Jesus?
Oh, that's a very good question. If we go back into the book of Daniel, we'll see that there's a dream and there's actually four civilizations that are talked about in which mankind kind of progresses towards the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that's kind of what the whole thing is right now. The two witnesses show us that we're in the Iron Age, or at the tail end of it, which is the final civilization of mankind, and then after that, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be established.
Okay, so Lennon and McCartney were quote unquote these two witnesses back then. They since reincarnated as the Beatles. Okay,
well, is that where we're at? That's an okay way of putting it, but really, actually, what happened you have to understand that the two witnesses are more, they're described in a very symbolic manner in the Bible. Okay, so to say that, like Paul McCartney, currently today he's alive, but he is not a two witness today. It was only during that 1,260-day period. It was kind of a spiritual rebirth within them, if you will, during that time period in which they became the two witnesses.
Have you ever presented this theory to Paul McCartney?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever presented your theory to Paul McCartney?
I have tried to contact him. I wasn't responded to. No. I have also contacted Sony ATV. They're the ones that hold a majority of the rights to a lot of the music and lyrics I was involved with in writing this book. And they kind of told me in kind of a point-blank fashion that they were not interested in having this put forth to the public.
Okay, who do you believe is going to be who do you believe or do you believe in an Antichrist?
That's a very good question. Let's just back up for a second. If we look at it real quickly, we'll see that the two witnesses, in a roundabout fashion, it was roughly 40 years ago that the two witnesses delivered their prophecy.
Hey, hold on. Someone's really breathing or having... Hang tight. Listen, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more of Jacob James here in The Beatles and the Bible.
sick and tired of reacting to life but don't know what to do? Reclaim the magic in your life today. Dr. Alice Chan will guide and inspire you to control your destiny and live life with all the joy, passion, and fulfillment that belongs to you. Reach your dreams and become a conscious creator in your life. Go to DrAliceChan.com. That's DrAliceChan.com.
CIA, MIA, South Central, LA.
Read the playground.
Yeah, yeah.
A novel by Carmichael Wolf. Try to crack that gangsta code.
Crack and speed or WMD. Crack and speed or WMD.
Yeah, yeah. Sophia had no choice. Her son David, only 5, had to leave Inglewood,
yeah, yeah,
and move east side. Now they're in the hood, just trying to survive. Live a day as a bloom,
yeah,
and try,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
to die. That was taken too soon, and now David can't play in the playground.
No more, yeah, happy
in
seesaw.
The playground.
We're breaking the law.
Sandboxes full of rocks.
Yo, it's Damu and his crew.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, we better,
yeah,
act straight. It's 1981 and you are already late.
Yeah.
Now, old man Gray in the senator knew that East LA will spit you out too.
The CIA,
where?
Is assassinating a black community using sophisticated robotics and,
yeah,
crack,
yeah,
cocaine as bio warfare.
Crack, crack, crack cocaine on every block.
CIA delivers rock around the clock.
Visit Carmichael Wolf, the eclectic novice.com or Amazon.com.
Love, hate, deceit, loyalty. Travel back in time to the first Earth where future began, where good first confronted evil.
Join Acellus, the first angelic being created by God, as he chronicles the untold story of the Jack of Diamonds and the Lady Justice.
A love that burns throughout the ages.
The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, a spiritual fantasy by Lewis F. Hemsey.
Available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Legends of Oklahoma. Explore the paranormal history of Oklahoma through ghost stories and legends and through the eyes of a renowned paranormal team. Have drinks with outlaw ghosts in an old saloon and tip your hat to the lady spirits upstairs in the bordello. Follow the Civil War outlaws, John Wilkes Booth, Wild West shows, and historic Route 66. Haunted Oklahoma awaits you. Get your copy of Ghosts and Legends of Oklahoma today by visiting MikeRicksecker.com or SpirituallyRaw.com.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now, more ass.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. All right. So, all right, Jacob, you were starting off there. Tell me about what you think you're about this Antichrist. Do you believe in one?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah?
I sure do.
And
yes.
Any, is
it's
he alive
be
around
a human,
us?
Human being.
Yeah.
And the two witnesses, they spent a lot of time talking about, you know, things that are going to happen. So your question prior to the break was, when do you think the Antichrist is going to come?
Yep.
And I just wanted to answer that. I believe, based on my research, that it'll be right around 2050.
Right around 2050.
Right. Now, that could be like from, it's a, The Antichrist is going to be in power for 7 years, and the last 3.5 years, everybody will he'll be in his Antichrist mode, per se. And so I don't know if that's 47 to 50 or, you know, 50 to 53, but it'll be right around that time.
All right. Let me go over here to our commentator here, Nick Bunick. Nick, what do you think about what he's saying here today about Lennon and McCartney, you know, being the witnesses and this Antichrist coming possibly in 2050?
Well, I don't subscribe to the same belief system as your guest does. First of all, Revelation, to me, there was a man dying on the island of Ptolemy. He was talking about events that are going to happen in his life. He said, the time is almost here now. He was talking about when the ships arrive in the city of Seven Hills, which is Rome, the city will be all on fire as a ship comes in with the slaves and chariots and incense. Are we still delivering slaves and incense and chariots to Rome? The point is, a man was talking about something that was going to happen in his lifetime.
Right, right. I totally subscribe to that, and that's a totally perfect, whole literal interpretation of it. However, I guess my position is that the Bible is really a living Bible, and I guess the gist of that is that throughout all mankind, a person can pick it up and he can read it, and he actually derives.
What does that mean? A living Bible.
So that's just kind of the way. That's what kind of the idea that the Bible continues to evolve through mankind's kind of timeline, and that, you know, it actually takes on symbolic significance related to each particular portion of that time. There of course is a literal one. I'm not arguing with that. There was a basis for it being written. However, it continues to be applicable throughout all of time. So if someone in the year 1000 picked up the Bible and read it, they'd get something
related to their time.
Exactly. They could derive something very meaningful for it. That's kind of the whole point, is that you have to look at it from a very symbolic point of view.
Okay, let me ask you this from a symbolic point of view. Is there anything symbolic about John and John's relationship to Yoko Ono?
I believe there is. I believe that I have a book that's posted on the internet. It's at The Good Guys, GUISE, at WordPress, and I talk pretty extensively about the I am the walrus phrase and kind of where that's derived from. And it all kind of stems back from the book of Daniel, and that, which is the second beast in the book of Daniel.
All right.
And it kind of ties back to, you know, Paul always said, you know, his clues were very helpful on this. He said, you know, the walrus was Paul, and I'm as close as can be, and stuff like that. And if you look at the fourth beast, it actually pretty much mimics John's life fairly well. And there's a woman that's talked about associated with the fourth beast, and I believe that woman would be Yoko.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so that's to answer your question.
Not a problem. Okay, everybody, that is Jacob James, The Beatles, and the Bible. If you think you want to hear more of this on a full episode, go to the Raw Factor tab and vote, vote, vote. Okay, Jacob, thanks for being on the airwaves with us, man.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Make sense to you?
I find it almost impossible to not believe that John Lennon and Paul McCartney are spiritual avatars of some sort. I mean, you cannot possibly write music and lyrics like that without being divinely connected to some level, to some degree.
Or LSD.
A lot of it.
Okay. All right, who's up next?
Up next, Christian Dogma, the 21st Century Perspective, Barry Blood Sr. He explores the many differences that exists between popular Christianity, which are the doctrines taught from the pulpit, versus academic Christianity, the doctrine taught in colleges and seminaries. He contends there are startling differences in these Christian beliefs that may shock the average Christian layperson. I can't wait to hear this.
All right, let's bring him on. Barry Blood Sr. Barry Blood Sr. Sounds like a baseball player. What do you say, Barry?
Good morning, AJ. Good morning, April.
Glad to
be with you this morning.
Hey, likewise.
Okay, so let's talk about a few of these popular versus academic differences. You know, let's talk about the concept of God, from your opinion.
Oh, my. You want to start right at the top, huh?
Yeah. Why not, right?
Might as well go for the juggler.
Yeah, we could do that, but we might turn off an awful lot of Christians. But basically, what academic Christianity teaches our pastors and our priests is 21st century knowledge, which really begins with the Enlightenment back in the late 17th century. And the concept of God goes back some 30 to 35,000 years, when man could not understand the universe, could not understand the world around himself, And he had to have some kind of a spiritual being to relate to as to why the rain came out of the sky and the next day the sunshine and the next day cold weather and the next day hot weather. And he formed the spirits that he worshipped at that time, thinking that if he worshipped them and appeased them, then they would be kind to him. And throughout the history, and it goes through a lot of different phases of ancestral worship and gods that we have just simply made up to the gods that we worship today. And there are many gods that are worshipped today in the world. But all of them are man-made gods. It's a concept that man has grasped hold of to explain those things which he doesn't understand. Well, and every time science uncovers a new finding, that chips away a little bit at that God personality that we have formed.
So, I've heard people say, you know, about God being man-made. So, if that is true, let's say, from your perspective, then, how would one describe this entity of whateverness?
Godness?
Yeah.
How would we explain God?
Yeah.
Well, God is just a man-made concept to try to answer questions that we can't answer.
And we just put a figure on it, right? Is that what you're saying?
We call it a god, we put a name on it, and that evolves over time. The god that we are worshiping today, Yahweh, is not the same Yahweh that was worshipped 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago when it was written down in Hebrew.
Why?
The God today, we don't look to say he causes hurricanes to happen, or you can pray to him to direct the hurricanes. We don't say that the God today causes people to have cancer, or that he cures cancer. Those things we have understood now. We understand weather patterns. We understand germs and bacteria and those type of things that cause illness. And so we don't use that God anymore. And so those things have dropped out. Most of the things that we have attributed to God in the past, we have been able to explain, and we don't need that God for that explanation anymore.
What about the Trinity?
The Trinity is considered by many Christians to be a very important part of the Christian doctrine. But what most Christians don't realize is the word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible. It's not part of the Old Testament, not part of the... It's not even implied in the Bible. It is a man-made concept as well. It came about at the Council of Constantinople in the year 381 when the bishops got together and they debated this subject and they came up with a vote that said, yes, there is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not one, they're three, but they're not three, they're not one, if you can understand that.
Yeah.
And it's totally a human concept, and it was common among many of the pagan religions of that era, and that may well be why they instituted it within the Christian religion as well.
You know what's so interesting? Three of the biggest controversial Christian topics, such as the rapture, homosexuality, and the Trinity, are not located anywhere in the Bible.
Well, all right,
that's true.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to hear more about Christian dogma, okay?
To know the truth about the universe, we must look to the governing laws already proven, the laws that have been tested, that are scientifically researched and cannot be altered by mysticism alone. Avoid beating around the proverbial burning bush. Leave behind those half-truths in which humans make up as they go along. Rediscover the correct origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Forget those outrageous stories binding you in fear. Break free from intimidation, brainwashing, and mind control. Learn the facts. Purchase
United Nations state-sponsored genocide with the opening of the Seven Seals today. Go to spirituallyroll.com and click the corresponding button.
Nick Bunick, as you read his extraordinary and profound channel messages in Time for Truth. Going back 2,000 years, learn when and how the 4th century church distorted the original messages of Jesus and Paul. How messages of love were tainted to create fear, words of compassion manipulated to instill feelings of guilt, parables meant to unify, only misuse causing division. You will be provided absolute proof that reincarnation is a reality. Set aside your conscious mind and communicate with your soul mind. Purchase your copy of Time for Truth today. Go to Amazon.com or NickBunick.org.
Seconds saves lives. Save a life. You alerted? YouAlerted.com.
What would you do if an angel popped into your life and asked you to help save him and all the other angels in the city from the illustrious Lucifer?
Join the courageous Sam Wilson as he saves the angels and the city from their demonic demise. Read and learn how mankind rocks.
Mythological Sam, The Call by Kathleen Pickering. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now, more ass.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Barry Blood. You know, Barry, I'm trying to figure out, man, are you pro-Christian? Are you anti-Christian? Where are you at?
I'm pro-Christian. I am a Christian, been a Christian all my life, and I'm very concerned about the longevity of the church, and that's why I have written my book, Giving Voice to the Silent Pulpit, to try to bring some of these things to light, to try to save the church from itself, in fact.
What do you think has to happen?
I think there has to become a critical mass of the people sitting in the pews who understand these things as the academicians do, so that the preachers and the priests will have an opportunity to talk with them openly and honestly about these things. Right now they can't. They are prohibited by both the people in the pews and by the hierarchy of the church about telling these things to us as truth. And there's four reasons for that. One is that they think that we, the people in the pews, only want to hear the old hymns, the old messages, the old liturgies of the past. And they're afraid that if they say anything to us about these new findings, that they'll lose their jobs. And the second reason is that they feel that the people in the pews would not understand, because we have so much invested and so much comfort in the old-time religion that we couldn't handle this on an intellectual basis. And the third reason is that they have never been trained on how to bring people to understand these things in a more intellectual basis. They have not been trained or given any mythology or plan or guide of how to take us from where we are with our Sunday school understanding of Christianity to an academic understanding. And the fourth reason has to do with the church itself. The hierarchy of many denominations forbid the teaching of anything but the standard beliefs and proclamations as they come out of the Bible, because they fear that if they do, that they will lose members, they will lose control and power, and most importantly, they'll lose revenues.
Nicky, what do you think? Is he on to something here, Barry Blood?
Yes, I totally agree. A lot of the doctrines of the church go back to the 4th century, and that's when Constantine created the Roman Catholic Church, and they want to control. They had 80 million people living there, and they wanted to control the lives of the people, so they came up with their own concept of God and their own concept of what people should believe in order to control the lives of people. So I do believe in a divine being. I don't know if I got the impression that Barry didn't, but it is not. I do believe that the concept of God the church teaches is one which has many, many distortions of the truth in it.
Okay, right on, everybody. This is Barry Blood, Senior, Christian Dogma. If you want to hear more of him, go to the Raw Factor tab and vote, vote, vote.
I do.
Yeah, you do? Okay, we'll give out.
I definitely want to hear more.
All right, save your vote till tomorrow.
Yeah. I had three things I wanted to tell you, but I forgot one of them.
All right, well, listen, it's all right. That's funny. All right, that was good, Barry. All right, listen, everybody, again, if you want to vote for Barry, just go to the Raw Factor tab, vote, vote, vote. We'll give out those results Friday, okay? Thanks, Barry, for being on the airwaves.
Sure, thank you very much.
You got it. That was quite witty of Barry.
Sure was.
All right.
We have a full day of biblical truths and prophecies.
Yeah, what's going on with that, man?
It's funny how things work out.
Yes, it is. Okay,
well, Spiritually Raw.
Let's talk about our featured guest.
All right. Up this morning, we have the lives of Elijah Brooks, George Elijah Brooks. Look on the cover of my book, My Fellow Jews. Yes, you heard me. The time has come at last. An Israeli government letterhead document from the pen of the former Israel Prime Minister Ariel Sharon addressed to and addressing me as the Messiah.
Wow. Okay.
How do you like that, Jay?
Let's find out. George Elijah Brooks, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you, George?
I'm doing pretty good.
Elijah.
George.
Elijah. Well, how do you
want
to...
Well, you go by Elijah, though, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes, sorry. All right, so listen, so you're saying you are the long-awaited Messiah, right? You are, in essence, you are John the Baptist?
That was one of my incarnations.
That was one of
your... Well, let's not forget, Jay, he was also Elijah.
Elijah, and
the
he's
prophet.
And he's also John. Now again, Neil, please help us to understand why we should believe this information.
You know, I really don't care how many people believe that. What I do care is how many people get past all that and realize what I am able to do once I finally get the public stage. There is a big problem in the Middle East right now called the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And as long as this conflict keeps going, it is the pilot light, literally, that keeps this terrorist movement in the world lit. If tomorrow the Israelis and the Palestinians were able to come to a peaceful accord and to begin living together as brothers and sisters, which under Abraham they are, this whole movement for world domination by this Islamic fundamentalism would begin to collapse.
So let me ask you this. If you don't care that anybody believes the fact that you are or are not Elijah the prophet or John the Baptist, but yet you want to become this voice for connecting, or this voice for this peacemaker, so to speak, why not just come out as Elijah, the future peacemaker of the world?
I've done that, but people don't respond to that kind of stuff. I mean, I've been at this for decades.
How do you know that you are the prophet and also John the Baptist? How do you know? I mean, how did you get there?
Inner visions. I mean, that's the entire problem. I don't have a certificate. I don't have a little something of proof, a license. All I have is my own inner awareness.
Nothing notarized? You have nothing notarized there, Sam George? All right, but you're putting it out there, and I understand, you know, listen, I'm not discounting that you got a message to put out there, but you are putting it out there. Okay. Yeah. Well, who else have you, through your inner visions, do you feel like you are have incarnated from?
Oh, nobody famous. I lived in Sparta for a number of incarnations. I lived in the South Sea Islands. I have one very distinct memory of getting killed trying to escape from a Japanese prisoner of war camp during World War II. You know, just little bits and pieces. We don't have access to our entire past lives.
Okay, so ultimately, what you really want, if I'm understanding you correctly, you would like the Israeli government to grant you to be the Minister of Peace?
Yes.
And what would you do with this title and responsibility?
The first thing I would do would be to begin to engage the Palestinians and the Israelis in a conversation. One other tactic that I would use, and we're talking about tactical stuff here. Right now, Israel has Iran as a mortal enemy. We have Israel, Iran as a mortal enemy because around 1400 years ago, an Arab invasion swept through Iran, overturned their legitimate government, replaced their historical, religious, and philosophical beliefs with Islam. And what we have today is basically a Quisling government and a Quisling religion that is oppressing the people in Iran. I've got a lot of Persian friends. They can't stand these people. They're murderers. During the Iran-Iraq war, they were sending 14 and 15-year-olds off to die at the front. That's the kind of people they are. They murder homosexuals. They say there's no homosexuality in Iran. Please, give me a break.
So what's on your resume that would you believe that would grant you this title?
What's on my resume?
Why would the Israeli government consider you?
They will only consider me when there is enough public pressure that they cannot ignore me anymore. And that's when I begin to be in the media and I begin to get some attention and people actually begin to take me seriously and listen to the tactical solutions that I'm offering.
All right, hang tight, everybody.
Did we hear any of his tactical solutions?
No, we're going to try to see if we can get some when we get back. Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break.
Is this the fulfillment?
We want the Mubarak to be out!
Ancient prophetic texts.
What about the weird weather anomalies?
Hundreds of cars were entombed in snow.
The magnetic pole has shifted.
Magnetic north is moving.
There are those who say that something has happened to the moon. The moon looks funny. The moon looks out of place. The moon has shifted. The moon doesn't look the way it's always looked to me. Why is it that an earthquake occurs almost on a weekly basis? What about the tens of thousands of birds falling from the sky? Are we looking at extraterrestrial disclosure? Again, is it business as usual? Is this normal?
Pick up your copy of Watchers 2, Signs in the Heavens and Earth, by going to www.lamarzulli.net. This may be the most important video you'll ever see.
Before Adam and Eve, who are the pre-Adamites? Learn about a kingdom that speaks to you from beyond time. Go on the adventure of your life, an epic journey you will not forget. The Kingdom of Saguenay. Order the Kingdom of Saguenay today. Go to www.thekingdomofsaguenay.net or spirituallyraw.com.
Oh,
sweet on being God. God, 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 God. Carl Bozeman wrote a book on being God. Buy it now at Amazon.com. God, 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 God.
Purchase your copy of On Being God at spiritual-intuitions.com.
Planetary alert. All citizens whose last names begin with the letter A, report to your local implant center. All citizens whose last names begin with the letter A, report to your local implant center. Failure to comply will result in having your utilities shut off and a warrant issued for your arrest for terroristic resistance. Welcome to the new age of Lucifer and have a blessed day.
Coming of Antichrist is near, who will force a Luciferic order upon the world and lead a second Holocaust. Learn how to escape 666 and the horror to come at www.satansrapture.com. Warning, this site is banned by Christianity and its churches.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now, more ass whipping.
All
truth.
Right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. So, hey, Nick, what do you think about this? Our good friend here, Elijah Brooks, being the long awaited Messiah and also John the Baptist.
We got Nick with us.
Yes, I'm sorry. You're asking me, Jay?
Yeah. What are you thinking about
Elijah? I think his Elijah's interest in becoming the mediator or arbitrator of the problem in the Mideast is one issue, and I think the other totally different subject is whether indeed he is a reincarnation of Elijah. And I think what I heard him say earlier, he doesn't. It's not that important whether we believe or not that he's a reincarnation. That's irrelevant to his wanting to play the role of the spokesman of a mediator in the Mideast, and that he wants people to he wants them to recognize that he's a reincarnation of Elijah to try to give himself more credibility in order to earn that position. Is that correct, what I just said, Elijah?
That's pretty much. I mean, I just have to be a realist and realize that a lot of people aren't going to believe it. A lot of people didn't believe that General George Patton was a reincarnation of Hannibal, but it was his belief, and they had to believe that that was his belief, and his belief certainly informed his behavior and turned him into a really good soldier.
Yeah, I think the question you were asking earlier, AJ, is not as important to Elijah as it was to the audience wanting to know why he came to the conclusion that he's a reincarnation
then why would
of Elijah
you, why,
slash John the Baptist.
Then why do you think it's important to even mention it in at all, if you know it's going to be challenged?
Asking me?
Yeah. Why do you think it's important, Elijah, for you to even bring this up if you know it's going to be challenged and people are going to be hitting a roadblock? Why not just put yourself as, out there as George Brooks who wants to...
No, because I have to be honest.
Okay, but if you know...
But isn't it backfiring on
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you know it's going to be...
No, not really.
Yeah. Well, how's it not backfiring on you? Or
well, how has it... Yes, backfired. It has not backfired on me. I mean, I get polite receptions and people... There have been shows that I've been interviewed on that they were perfectly all right with it.
Well,
and the ones that were skeptical, that was okay too, but they respected it, you know?
Okay, so let's play along and say that you are the prophet Elijah. Don't mm-hmm. you think if that were really true, that you would, I mean, that would be the ultimate peacemaker of the world. So if that were really true, then you should have no problem becoming the minister of peace.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yes. So what do you think's holding it up?
The same thing that held up Jesus and got him murdered. Nobody wants to accept it. And there are entrenched powers that they're running the show. They don't want anything that comes along and rocks their little boat. And I'm definitely going to be rocking some boats.
All right. Okay, listen. So let me ask you this. You say you fulfill Reverend Farwell's requirements for the role of the Antichrist. Can you explain that?
Yeah. I'm Jewish. I'm gay. And if I do succeed in bringing peace to the Middle East, then that's the third criterion that he offered.
Do you?
And you think you're the only Jewish gay man attempting this? Why you? Why do you?
Probably not. I don't know. I just know what I'm doing. I can't monitor the entire planet. There's a lot of us running around on this planet.
So do you really believe you're the Antichrist?
No, no.
Do you think there is an Antichrist?
I think he said the Antichrist would come out in 2050.
No, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was
that was guest number two.
The problem with the Antichrist is people don't even know what the word Christ means. So when they start saying the Antichrist, they're doubling down on what they don't know what they're talking about.
What's your definition of Christ?
Christ is the Greek, is the transliteration of the Greek word Christos, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which translates to English as anointed. All of the prophets from, let's start back further than that. Moses was told, according to gospel, to anoint his brother Aaron to be the first Kohen, the first high priest of Israel. The word in Hebrew is Lashiach. He was told to Mashiach, his brother. From that point on, the only way you got to be Mashiach was you had to be anointed by someone who had been anointed in turn all the way from that first anointing by Moses. When you read the Bible, you read the story of Saul and David. Saul was anointed. If you read it in the original Hebrew, he is referred to as the Lord's Messiah. David was also referred to as the Lord's Messiah. And I'm just going to put it in the first person, I was told in my life as Elijah to anoint Elisha. The word is Lashiach. So he was Messiah. And I could not do that if I had not been anointed myself.
All right, let me ask you this. If you're eventually successful in this quest that you're on right now and people do start to recognize you as a Messiah, number one, what's your plans as far as living? Like, how are you going to move around? You're going to be in like a Pope bubble or something like that?
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. I'm going to go do my own shopping. I'm going to live my life just exactly as I've always lived it.
Just sign autographs.
Do you really believe that? Do you really honestly believe that? That would be possible? That's absolutely the most delusional thing I think I've heard you say.
That guy from Apple, what's his name? Steve Jobs, he lived his life just like that, and he was world famous and has quite a following.
You really think Steve Jobs went to the grocery store and did his own shopping?
He lived in his own house. He drove his own car.
I will do it
as much as I can. Let's put it that way. And I will ask people to just give me the right to live my life. And if they really love me, they will.
Well, Elijah, before you get to that point, a question I have for you. Do you have memories of the past lifetimes that you claim to be reincarnation of?
Yes, I do. Okay. I have a very vivid memory of how I met my grandmother, for instance. My grandmother was...
Which lifetime are you talking about?
As John the Baptist.
Okay.
I had been captured and taken to Caesarea, and when they got me there, I was beautiful. I mean, I was strikingly beautiful in that lifetime. They brought me into the court naked because that was the way I ran around. The people of the court fell in love with me, and one of the people that fell in love with me was Herod's daughter, Salome.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Salome. I was young. I was still in the homosexual phase of adolescent development. She was in love with me. She came in on me one time after I had been ensconced in the court. I was part of the family at this point. I had a boyfriend, a Greek boyfriend, and she caught us in the act. She freaked out. She got hysterical. She went and complained to her daddy and... expressed her upsetness with the whole thing and told him she wanted my head on a platter.
Now, you know that's not what the interpretation is in the Testament as to why John the Baptist was beheaded.
Oh, I know.
You're telling a totally different story.
I know. There are a lot of things in the Bible that aren't necessarily so.
I know that. I was just curious
A possibility, though, Nick?
I don't believe so, no.
You don't believe so? Okay,
I'm saying the memories he just talked about is not consistent with the memories I have of John the Baptist, who lived along the Jordan River preaching to the people there. And
he was not considered beautiful by any stretch of the imagination.
Which was along the coast of the Great Sea, which today is called the Mediterranean.
That's where I was in prison, was in Caesarea, when they first got me there.
Well, Herod had nothing to do. Okay.
That was Herod's throne city. He didn't dare go to Jerusalem.
Why did Herod arrest you?
Didn't like him.
Why did Herod arrest you?
Because I was beginning to get a following, and it was known that I was connected to Jesus. I was related to him. And, it wasn't anything that I was doing consciously. I didn't have any concept whatsoever. I was just living my life, doing my thing, basically. And evidently, I got onto their radar, and they saw me as a political threat in some fashion.
Do you have any remembrance of the biggest, most important event in your life, which would be baptizing Jesus?
I don't have a direct memory of that, no.
Now, that's interesting. The most important event in John the Baptist's entire life, you don't have any memory of that?
We don't get to choose what we're going to be able to remember when we come into a new life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't remember anything.
It's fascinating, huh? You know, maybe it was just you absolutely feel with this memory, this absolutely confirms, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, at least as far as you're concerned, that you definitely are this person. This validated all that for you. Okay.
It's simpler than that.
All right. I guess you can't make it any simpler than that. All right, everybody. That is George Elijah Brooks, and he lives the life of Elijah Brooks. And where can we find out more about you?
You can read my book, The Lives of Elijah Brooks. It lays it all out.
Okay, where do we find that?
It's on Amazon.com, on BarnesandNoble.com. It's on a lot of websites worldwide at this point.
All right. Very intriguing, Jay.
Let us know what you all think about this. Have we met the real Elijah, everybody, the prophet here? And also, I'd like to thank our special guest commentator, Nick Bunick, the author of Time for Truth, for being on the airwaves with us. And also, too, when you make your donation into Spiritually Raw Foundation, you can get Nick's book as a gift for you. So, hey, don't forget to vote, everybody. We're giving out those results tomorrow. We'll see you then, okay?
And with that, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. Most important, may all your dreams come true. Many, many blessings.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. For though they may be parted, still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. 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 Yeah, there will be an answer. Let it be. 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 Cloudy.